This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. To be black, gay, and Muslim is to live a life with many conflicts. A new film reveals the struggle of women who share those identities.
We were keenly aware that as black women in America, we now have a position of privilege to tell this story that a lot of other women would not have. And just as our struggle has been used to, you know, promote liberty in other places, like, this is still a frontier that hasn't been covered.
That's a clip from the documentary Al-Nisa, Black Muslim Women in Atlanta's Gay Mecca. It tells the story of five women grappling with what it means to be black, lesbian, and Muslim in the South. One of those women is Keeney Foster. She and her partner Kalani are both featured in the documentary Al-Nisa, and she joins us now from Atlanta. Hello, Keeney.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing very well. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk with Red Summer, who created this film. And she thought she had everything already, talking with women who wanted to tell their stories and get it out. And just as she was about to produce this film, they all, quite understandably, decided that they didn't really want to go public with this story. And then you came forward and decided to tell your story. Why?
You know, it's something that, when you've lived in a situation where you feel alone, almost like there's only a fragment, a small piece of yourself that you can present in certain communities. And then as you go along, you find out that there's other people, in this case, women, who have similar stories, but feel like either there's not a place for them or they feel like they have to be quiet. For myself, it felt like it was time to speak up. It was time to give that community a sign that there's a place for them and that there's a community that can feel like home somewhere out there for them.
And that timing was lucky for Red Summer, who is the director of the film Al-Nisa, Black Muslim Women in Atlanta's Gay Mecca. She joins us now. Red, welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us about the genesis of this, because your own personal identity mirrors the stories that are told in this documentary.
Absolutely. I ended up starting the project because there was no information out there for me. I was trying to do research for a class project. I didn't have a lot of text to draw from, as you can imagine. And there was nowhere for me to go to have community or to even get information that I might need or might want to share with other people. So this project definitely gave me an opportunity to not only meet women who share my identity, but also to be able to create community with them.
And your own journey really illuminates this story. Tell us, give us some of your backstory and how you came to this.
Well, I was given the opportunity by my parents to choose my religious path as a child. And I embraced Islam at 12 and was really excited about it and just so happy to learn and be among the Muslim community in Chicago, where I'm from. And by the time I got to college, my sophomore year, I married a nice Muslim man who was who became one of the ministers at our mosque on our campus and in the subsequently in the city close to where my college was.
And where was that?
And I went to Grambling State University in Louisiana. And after a while, you know, I just, you know, as I grew into myself and started to just kind of question who I am and what I really want out of my life, I kind of started pulling away a little bit. I had a lot of responsibility in the mosque with my husband being the leader of that mosque and myself being over the women there at 20.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of questioning, like, is this my life? Is this really what I want to do? And so I started trying to just kind of look around and see what else there was. I kind of joked that I didn't even know what a lesbian was until I was almost 26. I hadn't heard the term before, but I hadn't contextualized it. I didn't really know what that was. And so I definitely didn't identify myself in that manner because I didn't understand it fully. And so as I was able to kind of go out into the world on my own and try to figure things out, that's when I was like, oh, someone should have told me this a long time ago. It would have saved me a lot of trouble.
The thing they couldn't tell you was about your own identity as a lesbian. This is something that you discovered around the age of 26
right.
as you became aware of this. What was happening to you then as an Islamic woman as well? Were you aware? I mean, did it suddenly strike you?
As you can imagine, I spent a lot of time in single gender spaces, but I didn't know that everyone didn't have the same feelings and reactions as I was having, or even attractions. Women are very doting on each other and very complimentary. And so I just thought that's just, you know, what it was. Like, this life was a big slumber party at a sorority or something. But I met a woman and I fell in love with her. And of course, that became kind of problematic for me and within the Muslim community that I was a part of.
So what did you do? What was your first reaction or first response to that?
Well, I would take her to the mosque with me initially. And then because I was feeling a little uncomfortable, being a feminine a lesbian woman can kind of move into spaces that she wasn't necessarily mm-hmm. able to be in as comfortably as I was. And so I chose to leave the mosque at that time because I just didn't see a place for myself in it. And I knew that that it was a part of me, that it was my identity. It was part of my identity, definitely. And I just had to go.
Then how did the film come about?
Well, when I moved to Atlanta, I thought that there would be, you know, as Atlanta being named the gay Mecca of the South, Black gay Mecca especially, that there would be people there that I could, you know, find who identified as I did. And although I did find a couple of people, we definitely weren't gathering. We weren't meeting and discussing those intersectionalities. We weren't even having really meaningful conversations about them. And so I was a part of a community that wasn't in community with each other. And we wanted it. We needed it. By the time those of us who were in the project met each other, we were kind of like, yes, like finally I can talk to someone who identifies with me fully and I don't have to leave part of me out of the conversation.
You did that and then decided to, again, make this film. You had some willing partners in all of this who wanted to tell their stories, but at the last minute, not so, huh?
Yeah, well, initially when I started sending out questionnaires and trying to gather the people who I met to do the project, I had 15 women when I started around that, and none of them were willing to go on camera or be recorded or have their names documented or anything. And I was really just going to have it as a project for Georgia State, where I'm a graduate student. And even with that, you know, family pressures and the shame that's kind of attached to it prevented anyone from participating who really did want to. There were some women who were saying that they would be willing to if their faces could be blurred or their voices could be altered and that kind of thing. And I ended up bumping into Keeney and her wife at the No Hate Campaign photo shoot. And we were just like, oh, you know, so excited. I was so excited to meet a Muslim couple because I had never seen that before. And they were so open and willing to participate that it really opened the door for us to go forward from there.
Well, Keeney Foster, we opened the conversation with you and a bit of your story, but tell us more about you and your partner, Kalani, and how you ended up in Atlanta and a little of your backstory and how it was for you in that so-called gay Mecca in Atlanta.
Absolutely. Kalani and I actually met our senior year at Georgia State. We were doing a graduate level research program. But prior to that, I'm from a smaller city outside of Atlanta, a really small city outside of Atlanta. And her family's originally from Philadelphia and Detroit. So we did kind of come together with different backgrounds. She was born and raised Muslim. I was interested in converting at that point, but had not. And when she and I met, we became instant best friends. But as that friendship developed, my then husband came to me at some point. He said, "You know, I think you have a crush on her." And I said, "Oh no, you know that doesn't make sense. What are you talking about?" But as time went on, it became more and more apparent. We were approaching the biggest Muslim holiday, and thought to be the holiest month of the year at this point. And I decided that I couldn't run anymore. I had a conversation with her. I wanted her to know how I felt about her. That, of course, caused issues with the marriage that I was in at the time. But I decided that it being true to myself was more important for me. It was a very tumultuous transition, I think, for both myself and Kalani on our respective fronts. I ended up being outed to my family, but they were supportive. And about a year later, once the smoke cleared, I contacted Kalani and I told her, "Hey, in whatever way that you want me in your life, I'm ready to be there." And so we decided that we would push forward and work to be together.
When you talk about being true to yourself, of course, an important dimension in anyone's self is their religious and spiritual life. You chose to continue to embrace Islam. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be reductive about what Islam does and does not say about homosexuality. Are you accepted anywhere in the Muslim faith? And how do you then reconcile your faith with a discrimination if that's what you've encountered?
I expected more issues in the community initially. When I went through the period where, I was going through the divorce and I was being outed to my family, my then-husband and Kalani's then-husband made the argument that they would out us to the mosque that we were members of and to the community. To this day, I don't know if that actually ever happened. But I found myself being fearful of stepping out into the community because I didn't know what to expect. You do hear from people that homosexuality is not accepted in Islam. People don't often cite any particular verse from the Quran, mostly because there's not a whole lot there. There's the story of Lot. But other than that, there's not a whole lot said. Once I stepped back into the community, though, what I found is that most people don't have that as their personal crusade that they're going to go against. People are, busy dealing with their own spiritual path, and it ends up not being an issue.
Red, what was your experience with Islam?
I shied away from it for a really long time because my husband was in the position that he was, I didn't want to kind of shame him. And it was difficult to kind of leave that relationship and to leave the community at the time. My children really wanted to be able to go back to the mosque and be a part of that community. And I struggled with it because I wanted them to, and I wanted them to be able to, but I didn't feel that it would be safe for us to be there. Not that I don't know, it's kind of like my own fear that I carried. I don't know if, there was going to be a big meeting and everyone would discuss it. I don't know what I thought was going to happen, but I did stay away for a really long time. But I found that because I moved to Atlanta in a predominantly Muslim neighborhood, well, not predominantly, but there's very much a Muslim presence in my community, that I was seeking to be able to connect in some way or reconnect with the Muslim community in Atlanta, but just ended up not really finding anywhere that I felt comfortable until I met the women who are in this project.
We are talking about the film Al-Nisa, Black Muslim Women in Atlanta's Gay Mecca, today on The State of Things. My guests are the film's director and producer, Red Summer. Keeney Foster is featured in that film. She is with us as well. The film will screen at the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival in Durham this weekend. The film itself is structured in two main parts. Tell us a little bit about it, what the two elements of this film are.
Right. Well, initially, I was just doing interviews for a 10-minute project that I was going to be presenting in class. And so I did individual interviews of the women, just kind of getting their backstory, just to state that we're here, we exist. That kind of thing. It was very straightforward and pretty technical. but once we were done, we found that we had 7 hours of footage, close to 7 hours of footage. And it was just so much wonderful information that we wanted to do something with, but we weren't really sure what to do. We asked the women to meet with us for a brunch and just kind of thank them and give them an update of what these students and my professor had to say about the project in class. And we realized then that this was the first time that all of us would be in a room together.
We have a clip, actually, from that meeting.
You know, it really is a sigh of relief to be amongst other Muslim women, because that is something that has been missing, especially queer women. Like, I know I've detached in so many ways because I felt lost and I felt misplaced. I'm proud to be amongst all of you.
That's a clip from the film Al-Nisa, screened this weekend at the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival in Durham. You've put the film together. You've shown it. What kind of response are you getting?
I've actually had an amazing response. Most people, you know, were saying that they hadn't even thought about it. They had never thought about there being a community of women who were both queer and Muslim. So this was like an awakening for them in that kind of way. There are a lot of people who said that they've never seen their story told before, and they're so excited to have it be present and to be showing in so many cities as we've been invited to. We've also had an imam to reach out to us and talk to us about making their campus safe for queer Muslims and just different women across the country and men also. And even someone from Egypt contacted us to say that he had seen the trailer and wanted to be sure that he would be able to be an ally for his family members or friends, should they be like us.
It's interesting because the imam at Duke's at campus, Abdullah Antepli, I understand, reached out to you. You didn't know who it was, and you were scared for a minute. Tell
us
briefly that story.
Yes, because when I'm traveling, I have a list of people that I'm supposed to be in contact with. I know who's going to pick me up from the airport and where I'm going to be going, all the people that I'm supposed to meet, because as you can imagine, it can get a little scary, safety-wise, because you just never know what people's intentions are. And so when I got the email from him, we didn't respond immediately because he was not on the list of people that we were supposed to be talking to. And when we did have an opportunity to speak, it was absolutely amazing. And I was so pleased and just proud that this conversation was spreading out in the way that it was.
It's a big tent. And I think the wonderful thing about the film is it will allow this conversation to dispel a lot of the myths and also provide comfort for people who I think we're afraid to come out and have this conversation.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Red.
Thank you,
Keeney. Thanks to both of you for being on the program today.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
Red Summers, director of Al-Nisa, Black Muslim Women in Atlanta's Gay Mecca. Keeney Foster is one of the women featured in the film. Documentary is going to be screened twice this weekend at the North Carolina Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, and you can find out more about the showing, the screenings, the times, all of that at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, from Dolly Parton to the Dex Ron Weber duo, we're going to talk about 25 years of the Southern Folklife Collection. Please stay tuned.